Greetings in the precious name of Jesus to each of you here this morning. It's very special to be here again with you. It's very fitting that we greet and meet one another in the name of Jesus. Because as I look across you, as I look into your faces, as I think about why we're here, as I think about Brother Campbell and his journey, what the thing that binds it, what binds us all together is Jesus Christ and our love for him and his church. Very thankful to share in this service with you this morning. Seems like a while. For a message this morning, you can turn to Luke chapter 5. I've entitled the message, Launch Out into the Deep. Luke chapter 5 is the, my Bible has a title there called, to this chapter, called The Call of the First Disciples. This is toward the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's not at the very beginning, but it's toward the beginning. Let's read verses 1 through 11 of Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Very interesting account there of a miracle of Jesus. And it's interesting how that miracle coincides with the calling of these disciples. And of course we find our title in verse 4, where Jesus said, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, what does it mean to launch out into the deep? Maybe Jesus here was just referring to the physical and menial chore of fishing where the fish are. In other words, Peter, just go where the fish are. I'm the Lord of all creation, and I can see where the fish are. They're over there. They're not here. Peter, just go over there. Launch down your nets and go fishing and get a lot of fish. Was that all it was? Or was Jesus implying something deeper with these thoughts here, launch out into the deep? Was he instructing them in a spiritual way, not just a physical way? And I know this could be taken both of these ways, and maybe it's a stretch this morning, but I'd like to think about it in the spiritual. Obviously, we're not going to have a message on fishing in the natural sense. That wouldn't be inspirational this morning. So what does it mean to launch out into the deep? Well, what is the deep? Number one, what is the deep? Sometimes, I guess, if we think of the deep, we think of in the natural sense, the depths of the ocean. And I cannot remember right now how deep the ocean is. But I think I remember reading one time you could drop Mount Everest in the deepest part and it would be submerged. The ocean depths. Sometimes we think about the deep. We think of the dangers of the deep sea. We know how compression And the weight of something, when it's dropped into those depths, will crush just about anything. So, you know, it's interesting that there's creatures living down there, and God has made them to be able to withstand that incredible pressure, incredible PSI on that's pushing against one of those objects. And we have goblin sharks and giant squids and black dragonfish and stuff like that. God specifically created them for that, for the purpose of surviving there. It's so deep in some of those, and it's so, where it's so deep, it's so dark. And these creatures have built-in light systems to make light. Well, that's a natural sense, the ocean depth, that is the deep. That's a natural sense of it. But in the spiritual sense, the deep is out of our comfort zone. And we know what it's like sometimes to be out of our comfort zone. There's some dangers that might be there. It doesn't look easy. It doesn't, it looks complicated. It looks tough. It doesn't come naturally. We're going through deep waters, we say sometimes. And I think we can all understand that because we've been there. We each have a story to tell, I believe, about that and some of the deepness that we've gone through. Because God has a way of doing that with his children. What is the deep? Sometimes it is answering the call of God. Brother Sherwin mentioned Londo and his teaching and other school teachers. I'm not sure if there's others teaching here, but God bless you in that. Because that sometimes, when you get that call, will you come and teach for us? That's a launch out into the deep. It is, because you're committing 9 months of your life to something you don't know. It's deep. It's deep. Call to the ministry. Call to outreach. New mission endeavors. Facing challenges in home life. It can be deep sometimes. Challenges in church life. Challenges in business life. Is it time to expand or is it time to downsize? Sometimes those things can look very deep to us. Sometimes it's giving up things we hold dear. Several weeks ago, I was talking to a customer of mine and he had an accident with his, he's 90 years old. He had an accident and it wasn't his fault, but he was grieved because he was afraid they would take his license, and they did. And it was deep for him because I look at him and I saw a frail old man. But he didn't see himself in that way, which I probably wouldn't either. And it was big. It was huge to him to lose that mobility. Sometimes the deep is asking for forgiveness or extending forgiveness because of deep hurts. So that is the deep. And more could be mentioned there. Number two, it takes faith to launch into the deep. It takes faith to launch into the deep this morning because there's no handrails there. It seems that way. When God calls us to launch out into the deep, it's not like there's, well, yeah, there is. He never lets us alone, but it seems like that from our perspective, that there's no handrails there. And there's a reason for that. It's because we are to put our faith and trust in our Master, the one who is calling us. It takes faith to launch out into the deep because we know that things could go seemingly wrong from our perspective. It takes faith. As we do not know how God will lead. We do not know all the implications. And it's possible that from our perspective, things could go terribly wrong. There may be disappointments. But it takes faith to understand this morning that our loving Master never gives foolish instructions. His ways are always perfect. You know, Peter here, I'm sure he looked at himself as an accomplished fisherman. He knows where the fish are. He knows how to fish. from Peter's perspective, Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. It takes faith because human reasoning says stay away from the deep. Human reasoning says stay away from those deep, dark waters. It doesn't look right. It doesn't look safe. Stay away. And that's why it takes faith in our Master. Also, we need to insert here the thought that launching is action. Launching is action. This is an action verb. And I say that sometimes because we think we can mentally launch out without actively doing it. And in other words, it goes with the easy believism. If all you have to do is just believe. Well, no, we have to do it. Peter had to actually launch out. He had to move away from his position where he was in the shallow and move out. He had to do it. Matthew 7:24, Jesus said, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." Matthew 7:26, just two verses later, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man." So the wise man is one that hears and does. Hears the call to launch out and actually does it. And the foolish is the one who hears and does not. Number three, launching out into the deep when the Master calls is purifying. And I get that from verse 8, where Peter's response there was, "Depart from me." And I struggled with that for a while. Why did this? Okay, you had the manifestation of this tremendous haul of fish, and the ships began to sink. They were so heavy. There was such a haul, and Peter's response was, "Get away, Lord! Get away!" And why did he do that? But then I could relate, because what happened here was Peter was suddenly realized, he suddenly realized Christ and who he was in his entirety. This was not just a great man. There was something powerful. There was something miraculous. There was something heavenly. There was something godly. There was something tremendously holy about this Master. And Peter suddenly, when we have a view of the holiness of God, it changes something in ourselves. And Peter's response was, "Depart from me." Because he had a sense of unworthiness. He was emptied of self. He was realizing his need of Christ. And that's where he wants us to be. He calls us to launch out. We can't launch out with him when we're filled up of ourselves. It doesn't work. Sometimes we say, "Depart from me," but this might be how we feel, but it's the opposite of what we need. Peter, I don't think Peter meant that Jesus Christ was to go away from me. He didn't really mean, he felt his own unworthiness and his sinfulness, but he did really need Jesus, because he was willing to follow him at this point. Number four, launching out into the deep with the Lord gives sustaining grace. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. There's another sea story here we'd like to look at. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Let's read those at this time. This is another story about the sea. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Another interesting story here. But the thought I have, and many more things could be mentioned, but the thought I have here is that walking with Jesus keeps us from being swallowed by the deep. And Peter had a close escape here. And it's interesting to analyze why, because he was walking in the midst of the storm. He was launching out with Jesus, in a sense. But then something happened, and he got distracted, and he started looking around, and he started to sink. But walking with Jesus, the grace, the sustaining grace of our Lord was there to lift him up when Jesus reached out his hand, and he was able to again stand on the waves and continue walking toward Jesus. But we need to launch out and not look back. In this story here, Peter looked around him. But sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we have a tendency to look back instead of forward. But the Christian life is not back there somewhere. It is forward. Unless you've already left it behind and you're looking back on it. But the Christian life this morning is forward. Launch out. Go forward. Not backward. We think of the backward looks in Scripture, and that would be a subject in itself. You think of Lot's wife, how she was commanded. They were commanded to not look back. Not look back, and she did. And we know what happened. In Luke 9, verse 62 said, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The Lord gives us, our Master gives us, sustaining grace. We don't need to look back. In fact, we must not look back. We need to look forward. The Christian life is not lived backward. It's going forward. Number 5, what hinders us from launching out into the deep? What doth hinder? Well, you look at verse 5, going back to, what is my text? I think it's Luke chapter 5. Verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. That must have been a long night of fishing and getting nothing. And what hinders us from launching out into the deep? It's discouragement. It's discouragement sometimes. We labor and we have nothing to show for it. We've tried before and it didn't work. Lord, am I supposed to do this again? You calling me again? And it didn't work before. Or I had this happen or I had that happen. And I tried with this person and we couldn't resolve it. Or we couldn't get anywhere. Again? The Master says, come. The Master says, launch out. What hinders? The unknown hinders. And we already talked about that. The unknown hinders. We can look at this story here and we focus on verse 7 and we know what the result was. The ships were full. The result was there was a great draught of fishes. And sometimes, often, when we're called to move out, move forward, we cannot see this. We cannot see the result. And that sometimes hinders us from launching out. It shouldn't, but it does. Also, it's fear. Fear of the deep. And we already mentioned that as well. Sometimes it's what will others say? And this is a strong one. What will others say? Because sometimes launching out makes us take some steps that others may look at us quizzically or like, what are you doing? What why do you think you need to do this? It's easy to stay in the comfortable. What will others say? But Jesus said also, I don't have this verse in my notes here. Jesus said, yes, I do have it in my notes. I had it further back, but I missed that verse. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You know, the relationships. To be one with the Lord, to follow the Lord, to launch out with him means that there's going to have to be other relationships that go aside, that have to take second place. What hinders? Sometimes it's just laziness. I don't know. I don't know a lot about fishing, as they were fishing here. Was it? And I know there was a time to wash their nets. It was very important that these nets that they used at this time, they needed to be washed. They did need to be cleaned and set up to dry so that they could be used the next time. But was it possible that there was fishing to be done, but there was some laziness, there was some tendency to just relax and think, well, it'll be better later on. And we're good at procrastination, and we put it off. And we think, well, we can afford to delay. We can afford to let it rest a little bit. We don't have to launch out right away. We don't have to launch out all the way. We can launch out just a little bit. All those things. And that's human. That's our makeup. That's our tendency. Sometimes the results are not always glamorous or exciting or instantaneous. But don't let the discouragement of yesterday keep you from launching out today. Point number 6. Another question. What is wrong with the shallow? What is wrong with the shallow? The shallow looks so inviting. You know, you can see the bottom. You can see what the ship might run into. You can see if there's You can see the obstacles. It doesn't take a lot of faith to live in the shallow, does it? But there's not much accomplished in the shallow. Sometimes it is a total waste because you can't turn a profit without investing. And this crosses over from the spiritual to the natural as well. We understand that in the natural sense. In order to have a profit, there has to be an investment. And it's the same way in this spiritual. To expect a profit without an investment is backward. It doesn't work that way. But the shallow is not where God wants his people to be. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The shallow is not where he wants us to be this morning. That's not his will and purpose. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Here, the Corinthians, Paul was telling the Corinthians that they were shallow. They're living in the shallows. And it's sobering, and it hits close home to look at verse 3. So as we look around us, as we look internally into our own lives and into our churches and into our homes, and we can see some of the, sometimes we can see the carnality and we can see the envying and the strife and the divisions. And we have to ask ourselves, are we living in the shallow? Are we failing to launch out into the deep where God is calling us to go? Are we failing to move forward? Are we failing to eat the meat, to feed on the meat of God's word, to go deeper with him, to launch out into the deep? Also, Hebrews chapter 5, another parallel passage to this, some similar thoughts. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. Well, maybe I'll start with 11. He introduces a thought of Melchizedek in verse 10. Then he says in verse 11, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even to those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Well, here again, similar thoughts. The shallow is not where God wants us to be. He wants us to grow. He wants us to become strong. He wants us to move away from the milk and onto the meat. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age and have those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. I came across this quote. It says, "If you don't trust the Lord and let him take you into the depths, he can't take you to the heights." The Master is calling you this morning to go deeper with him, to leave those shallow areas. Trust him, he will never fail you. Point number 7, last point. What is the reward? What is a reward? And I hesitate a little bit on this point because we don't launch out into the deep only for the reward. We launch out into the deep because we're obeying the call of our Master. But there is a reward, and we know that there was a reward here in Luke chapter 5. We mentioned that several times already about the draught of fish. It was easy to see in this story. But there is a blessing waiting in the deep waters of commitment. And I'm not talking this morning about riches and wealth and health and prosperity. And that's a very common gospel that's preached in our world today, in the Christian world today. You launch out into the deep with the Lord and you experience riches and wealth and health and prosperity. But the blessing, the reward of launching out is a blessing of peace this morning. Peace, knowing that you are where the Master has called you, even if you are experiencing poverty, sickness, or loss. Because that might be where God is calling you to be this morning. He might be calling you to go through these deep waters, because he has something to show you. He has something, there's something he wants to do in your life. And we need to obey that call. And it will bring peace. And that is a reward of launching out into the deep. We know here it was a draught of fishes. and it's interesting to look at verse 10. Because there was actual fish. I don't know what kind of fish they were. Did not research that. There was actual fish there that were flopping around in the net. But there was also another reward in verse 10. Or verse 11, actually. The call was in verse 10, that Jesus called these fishermen and said, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What a reward! What a reward! These disciples were forsaking all and launching out into the deep with the Lord. Well, we know their history. We know that they struggled in the deep. They floundered around for quite a while before, even until after Jesus left, until they finally seemed like they understood their mission and their calling. And they were used of God tremendously and were a tremendous blessing to the church in Acts. So there's a kingdom work that is waiting, and that is a reward, the reward of kingdom growth and souls added to the church as a tremendous reward. There is a multitude of souls that need caught today. There is a tremendous harvest that is waiting in the depths. And when I say the depths, I don't mean just Bangladesh. I don't mean South Africa or Greenland or the extreme isolated or distant places in the world. I'm talking about those right around you. There's souls all around each of you this morning that need encouragement and friendship. They just need a helping hand, a word of encouragement. And there's others that are headed to destruction. Remember several weeks ago, we as a family were at Niagara Falls. And it's exhilarating it does something for you to stand there and just experience the power of that water and the sound, the tremendous sound that it makes. But there's a point there where you can walk up right to you're very close to the edge where it falls off. And I had to think about, of course it made it even more, that realization was even stronger when you watched a film and you saw the objects, you saw that barrel go over where that woman was supposedly inside. I guess it did actually happen, but when you think about the tremendous pool of that water, the tremendous drop that water is going before it even reaches the drop-off point. You know, as you look at the individual Brother Sherwin mentioned in the plane, with an attitude of toward spirituality, with an attitude like that toward God, you can imagine the tremendous pull that sin and Satan has on a person like that. It's just overwhelming. There's a multitude of souls that need caught before that, when they're in that pool, of sin. And that's what we're here for, brothers and sisters, Leola. That is a reward. Be faithful. Launching out in Jesus' name is an encouragement for those that are watching. Verse 1, "And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Apparently there was quite a crowd here. And the story, you kind of lose that perspective in the story because the dialogue goes between Simon and Jesus and then to the other disciples. But don't forget there was a whole crowd watching what was happening here. Also verse 9, it says, "For he was astonished," that means Peter, "and all that were with him." And again, there was this crowd here that was observing. So launching out, and the point here is that has a ripple effect. As you launch out in Jesus' name, it's an encouragement for others that are watching to do the same. It's positive peer pressure is what it is. And this is all the this is even stronger when we think about the fact that this was the seems to be the pivotal point for these, for the, at least these sons of Zebedee and Simon, that they at this point made the decision to forsake all and follow him. Also, we know that heaven is waiting. We know that that is the great reward of launching out into the deep with Jesus Christ, that heaven is waiting in the rewards for eternity. Well, will my launching out into the deep with Jesus be a turning point in my life? Are you willing to make that decision to launch out with Jesus Christ? Will it be a turning point in my life? I'd like to close with the words of a song, and maybe when I announce the title, this song came into your mind. I don't know that I've looked in our songbooks and I didn't find it, so it's an old song, I guess. I remember it was sung by a quartet, Mennonite Hour Quartet, probably 60, 70 years ago. But the words go like this. The title is Launch Out Into the Deep. All night the men had labored with nets out on the sea, but empty ships were anchored at morning on Galilee. Discouraged, tired, and weary, no fruitage did they reap. When lo, what word is spoken? Launch out into the deep. Verse 2, in vain, O Lord, thou speakest, no fish are in the sea. Yet once more at thy bidding, we'll cast the net for thee. What mighty power is working? The nets are filled and break. How glad that they obeyed him just for his own word's sake. Verse 3, let down your faith, my brother, into the mighty deep. Of God's eternal promise, his word he'll surely keep. Ask him for every blessing, no good will he withhold. He'll give in more abundance that your frail bark can hold. The refrain, launch out into the deep, no foe can e'er dismay. His grace will surely keep if you trust him and obey. Let's kneel for prayer.